welcome once again to another episode of the Kings of Anglia podcast. My name is Mark Heath, and joining me as ever is Andy Hutch Warren.
Hello.
And Stuart Dr. Watson.
Oh, that's a thing now, is it?
It's a thing. I've started it.
Okay.
I can't remember who put that through on Twitter, but I like it because it suits you. You're the doctor analysis. The doctor will see you now. That sort of thing.
I need to have a chat with you about nicknames at some point.
Go.
Do you want to do it now?
Let's do it now.
Before you say this, Stu, can I firstly point out that North Stander, our wonderful columnist, has started calling Paul Hurst Hurricane Hurst.
I disagree with that. I did see that in today's paper.
Okay.
I like Hollywood.
That moves us on to Stu's point.
Yes. You don't like Hollywood.
That's by the by. Word has reached me that he's not a fan of it.
Who?
Paul, the man himself.
He's not a fan of Hollywood.
Now, I don't know if this has been exaggerated, but a club insider, shall we say, pulled me to one side and said, "Can you tell your boss to stop calling Paul Hurst Hollywood? He doesn't like it."
For real?
For real.
Yeah. Why does he not like it? Do we know?
We don't know. I'll do some further investigations, but I did say it's only a little bit of fun, and if anything, I think we should, it's your thing. Stick with it.
Yeah, but I don't want to anger Hollywood.
I don't think he's angered. I'll find out a little bit more. This may be. I think there might be more to this.
To be fair to Mr. Hurst, the name Hollywood doesn't really sum him up, does it? In terms of, because he's quite a low key, laid back sort of guy. Mm. I mean, I was obviously referring to his outstanding set of Nashers that he's got.
I'm not sure if he'll have been told that's why. That might change the game.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was looking.
Maybe he thinks it's a reference to Paul Hollywood, the famous television baker.
Good Lord, I hope he doesn't think that.
Because
there's literally
Hollywood.
No comparison there.
No, very different characters, those two.
Interesting.
I'll smooth the waters on this, don't you worry.
Am I banned from Portman Road?
possibly.
No news on Deputy Doig, though. Not sure.
Can't have a problem with that. Is Doigie looking for a scrap? Is that what's happening?
Let's not go back to this.
Gaffer Hollywood, and he doesn't like it. Doigie's going to defend his honour.
I think it's all fine, but I thought we'd just I'd throw that one in.
That's
there.
Interesting. I've just been scrolling back through Twitter and we've been having this chat trying to find out who coined the phrase Dr. Watson, but just so I give him a shout out. I can't find it.
Let us know.
Yeah.
Let us know.
I do like it because I think it suits. You kind of got a very analytical way of approaching things, Stewie, so I think it suits you, the way you write.
That's probably the most obvious one, wasn't it, really? So,
all right.
There's a Dr. Watson Lane near the training ground.
Is there?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
That's my contribution.
Friends, so, moving on, what have we been up to? I know you've been at Rotherham.
Yep, we went out with a nice day at Rotherham.
Yeah, so let's talk about this, because part of the, as I say, the joy of this podcast and what people seem to be interested in is behind the scenes stuff. So talk me through a day on the road with the doctor and Hutch on the way to Rotherham. How's it work? What time do you leave?
Mr. Barry Kent, we've mentioned him many times on the podcast. Hopefully have him on one day. He drives his Scarlet Lady, which is a nice red Range Rover.
The Range.
Yep.
Yeah. The Range players.
For Midlands and Northern games, he'll pick me up first. I live in Ipswich, so he picks me up. Then we're off to Mr. Watson's house, Dr. Watson's house, and then full steam ahead to Rotherham. Yeah, making house calls. Breakfast on the way. It's a staple, isn't it, Stu?
Do you know where you're going to stop for food?
Yes, very much dialed in.
So where was it?
Well, this dates back to, it became a bit of a social media thing back in the day when Dave Gooderham was travelling with me, that people will know that we stop regularly at the OK Diner on the A1, which is up sort of Grantham way, isn't it, on the A1. Stop there and get a nice greasy fry up. That's about the only option you get there.
Don't they do American food, Doug?
Yeah, they do. I made a really bad decision again. I panic at the menu because it's massive.
Yeah.
It's like actually massive, and I just panic every time. This week I ended up with a dish called chicken bacon waffle, which is exactly what it is, and that was just
some maple syrup. Yeah,
it's just
what
I just panicked.
The bacon, the maple syrup, and the waffle, I'm down with that. why they're sticking a piece of breaded chicken on the side.
That's an American thing, though, isn't it? Chicken and waffles.
Yeah.
I can't see that it would work myself.
I need a bit of help. Next time we're there, I need Stu to help me out a little bit.
We've made many an error there before. Milkshakes. Very tasty, but we had a serious sugar crash after that, didn't we, on the way to Bolton once?
Yeah, we sat down in our seats at the Reebok, as it was at the time, and we just couldn't look. We couldn't see.
That's probably the equivalent of getting like a bag of sugar and just opening it.
I think there's five scoops of ice cream in there.
Yeah. The after effects weren't good.
No.
Put it that way.
Jalapeno coins, that's been done before.
What the hell is that? You did those. Just like onion rings but with jalapenos.
Okay, that sounds interesting.
They were, but yeah, you don't need them.
Caliente.
You don't need them for breakfast.
No.
breakfast.
Damn. Put a pep in your step.
That's the okay diner.
Oh yeah.
So you say that that's the okay diner, a fine, fine eatery. I might just mention that we are actually looking for a sponsor for this podcast. So if anyone's out there who wants to be associated with this complete nonsense that we churn out on a weekly basis, you'd be more than welcome. Stu was saying earlier, in terms of if we could tie it up with the videos we do as well, he'd be more than happy to get a permanent tattoo.
Yeah, well, if it's bringing some money into the company, we'll think we'll all do that, won't we?
That's the way we've got to think, boys.
We can do product placement. We can do
baseball caps.
All sorts of stuff, yeah.
So I've always been a fan of Adnams beer. and Green King's all right as well. What else could we do?
I have recently been looking at Hyundai cars.
Excellent. I've always wanted a Porsche. Any others to throw in?
Anything. Yeah.
Okay. So if you unlock drains, if you build walls, and you want to be associated with this.
We literally have no shame whatsoever. So if you want to be involved with us, you want to have your name brought to you in association with, Kings of Anglia podcast brought to you in association with, please do get in touch. But anyway, I've digressed there, boys. So we left you at the OK Diner.
Yeah.
You've had chicken and waffles.
Yeah.
Stuart Watson, what have you had?
What did I? I had a hot dog.
Yeah. Which on the menu was called the Big Porker.
I had the Big Porker.
Oh, yes.
So that kept me going.
The Kings of Anglia podcast brought you in association with the Big Porker.
Too much pork there.
This is a very rare post-midday stop at the OK Diner, actually. It was like 12:15, I think.
How big was the porker?
Yeah, it's a fairly sizable sausage with some extra sort of shredded pork on top, which was completely unnecessary.
Pork overload. So you bash that down. So
you
say you always know where you're going to stop, basically, for food. Yep. So trips up north, it tends to be okay, Dan. Does it? Where else do you like to frequent?
Lee Delamere Services on the M4.
Oh, don't get Andy on service stations.
This is a whole podcast.
Quite the connoisseur.
Yeah. Should we save that for the service station podcast?
Let's do that for that one.
Yeah, Lee Delamere's another big one. Peterborough, always on the way back from Midlands and Northern Games. That's another story in itself.
Yeah.
Probably save that for later as well.
Okay.
Andy's got a thing that is going to happen at Peterborough Services if Ipswich win away at a team in the top six. I might as well say it now. There's a eating establishment called El Mexicano, a Mexican place, as you can imagine.
Sounds good.
It is good.
They do something called La Beast, which is a burrito that weighs 1 kilogram in weight.
1 kilo? Two something pounds?
It's a lot of weight, but it's only £9.99, which pound for pound, you're not going to get a better dinner than that. However, it's not really for me, but Stu will explain one.
I've been trying to egg Andy on to attempt this for a while, and he's now promised that if Ipswich win away from home at a team that starts the day in the top six, and it happens to tie in with a trip home via Peterborough, he will take on the challenge.
We need to see this. Hutch versus La Beast.
Yeah, well, the stars have to align for this to happen. It's not just going to happen willy-nilly, so if the stars align, I'll see what I can do. I'm sure Stu will video it.
This is outstanding. We need video. What would be your tactic in terms
of...
Just go for it. Balls out.
Yeah.
Just steam into it.
I don't know what rules there are and what is in this burrito, because obviously you've got your choices. It's like a little Subway setup where you chuck it all in. I'd probably go light on the beans.
Yeah.
In this one, heavy on peppers.
Yeah. You want light stuff, don't you? You don't want stuff that's going to sit too heavy, given it's already a kilo of food going into you.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully that will happen.
Yeah.
We can only hope, yeah.
Absolutely. So you've had your meal.
Yeah.
You've fueled up. It's Tuesday, Morris the Porker. You're back on the road. You get to Rotherham. What happens when you get to Rotherham? How does it work?
Now
take the listener through.
Now it's business
now
time.
Now especially, you put this your game
is,
face yeah. on.
This is business time now.
Yeah, the doctor's here. He will see you now.
I've normally had a little nap in the car for about the last half an hour or
what
so.
Right? Did he snore?
No, sleeping off the pork.
Andy had to give me a little pep talk when we got there. Come on, game face on now. We've got to get in there. We've got to do our little videos. And yeah, team news is out. And then it's all go from that point onwards.
What are the press facilities like at Rotherham?
Yeah.
Okay.
Quite nice, yeah.
Food?
There was, but I don't think either of us touched it.
Because you're full of pork.
She was full of pork.
Yeah. They were just basically most football ground pies is the answer to what's on offer. But okay. There was no need for extra pastry at that stage.
How does Rotherham compare then as a championship day out, as it were? I know obviously you're there to work, but there must be some places you go you look forward to going. I know for example Carl Marston, one of our esteemed colleagues on the sports desk, is always singing the praises still of the Emirates Stadium. Was very impressed when he went there. Are there these kind of
Premier League grounds are next level in terms of press arrangements? When we've done the odd cup trips to places like Old Trafford and things, you get quite the array of food and all the rest of it. But and then on the flip side of that, you get other clubs that have worked their way up, and you might be crowded into a tiny little room with a. Mm. You're lucky if you get a cup of coffee or whatever. But as I keep saying on these. You know, that's all an added bonus. All we care about is if the Wi-Fi works.
Yeah.
And you'll be amazed at how many places it doesn't.
That and is absolutely vital, isn't it?
Your 4G signal doesn't work, and then you're in a world of pain then.
Rather very good.
Strong
very,
Wi-Fi.
It's all right, yeah, good.
Excellent. And also, obviously at the weekend, got a little, speaking of tech things, we got a little retweet, didn't we, from a famous Rotherham fan.
Yeah, we did a little web story during the game just to mark the tribute that the two sets of fans paid before and during to Barry Chuckle and Paul. That not just a retweet, he took the time to take the headline and tweet it.
Wow.
So yeah,
was it good to me to hear all that sort of stuff? I haven't actually
I think if the Ipswich fans had their way, it would have started kind of within seconds of kickoff. Ipswich fans tried to get it going quite early. The Rotherham fans left it till the 73rd minute, which was the age of Barry at his passing, which happened then. Yeah, it was very nice though. Nice round of applause before kickoff as well.
Good gesture. Like
it. Yeah, very nice.
Like it. Boys, while you were in Rotherham, soaking up the delights of Rotherham and watching the game, I was home alone. And I just want to talk. I want to share this. I feel I need to share this and ask questions because we're all married men here.
Yep.
Correct?
Correct.
You two have got kids, so you've got an extra level of commitment. But why is it, right? Because my wife went away this weekend, she went to her mum's. Why is it that you've got to be really sad, haven't you? When they go, oh, you're joking, aren't you? When are you going to be back? That sort of thing. When in your head you're thinking, right, get the beers in, watch all the sport that's on the Sky Sports Planner that I'm never allowed to watch. So I steam through fight after fight after fight this weekend. And generally kind of just enjoy yourself. But why is it? Do you have this? When
it's
your wives
true.
Go away?
Yeah.
Liz likely to be listening to this?
I very much
My
doubt it.
My wife Vicky certainly will not.
Yeah.
I don't think she's ever read an article I've written over 10 years of doing this, so we're very safe to talk about this.
So,
yeah.
Explain, I'm glad that you're in the same situation, aren't you? Because if I'm ever going to go away for a night or whatever, I get the, oh, do you have to go away? Can't you just stay here? But in my head, when she says she's going away, I think, brilliant.
Yeah.
Don't you?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And also, do you then do the thing, the last minute panic tidy up just
yes.
before
yeah,
she
yeah,
comes
yeah, yeah,
home?
Yeah.
Literally, like, you've been given a little list of just a couple of things that need to be done. You leave that until the absolute last minute, and then you're doing a panic hoover with about 10 minutes to go when you've had days
cleaning up all the crisp packets
to get
and
it
all
done.
That sort of
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah.
We're all the same, aren't we?
Absolutely.
Same with, why don't you just go to bed? Get yourself. You look like you're tired.
Yeah.
Why don't
you go to bed early?
Rest?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
No.
Yeah.
I'll stay up and watch that fight from 1985 that I recorded.
I thought you was going to say Babe Station.
No, come on. Let's not take it to that level.
Should we talk about the football?
Yeah. Do we have to? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So Rotherham, your thoughts?
It's a difficult one, isn't it? Because ultimately they've only got a point on the board, two games in against two newly promoted sides. But I'm still of the view that there are far more positives than negatives to take from the first two performances. Certainly on Saturday, I thought they played really well. The stats tell the tale in terms of the amount of shots, the amount of possession. Certainly they started like a train again. The first 20-25 minutes was very good. Weren't clinical enough. And for all the good play, I think 0-0 probably would have been a fair reflection because they were never really banging the door down. And then to concede that last minute goal was a real sucker punch, really. But I still see that there's signs of a new team bedding, gelling in, learning this new way of playing under Hurst. And I think if they continue in that vein, they'll win more games than they lose.
So for people who weren't there, any players who stood out again? I know it sounds like Gwern Edwards was good again.
Yeah, he's so neat and tidy and positive with everything he does. He obviously the eye-catching things are the flicks and the runs and the things like that, but even sort of like little touches in his own third, they're positive, they're looking to move forward. And of the debut makers, there were four debuts on Saturday. John Nolan was probably the pick of those. He moved the ball neat and tidy. He had one shot that just flew wide. He's going to be a really important player for Ipswich, I think.
And I saw you tweeted again, Stu, about Harrison, Bomber Harrison, up front. Thank you, Tom Lawrence. You said he looked a bit isolated again, which is obviously a problem in the first game.
Yeah, we've talked about it being 4-2-3-1 under Hurst. I thought this was more 4-1-4-1, which is something he played quite a lot at Shrewsbury, by all accounts. Shalabar, again, the deepest of the midfielders. The wingers were fairly tucked in, and I thought that left Harrison just a little bit too isolated up front, as was the case against Blackburn, probably. So that's something for them to work on. Maybe Nolan just getting that little bit more advanced. But overall, I thought there were a lot of positives to take from it. Toto Nsiala, I thought, had a decent debut as well. He's quick, he's strong. A real athlete. There were times where he looked a bit raw, and there was a couple of heart in mouth moments where he gave the ball away, but he always had the athleticism to get himself out of danger. All in all, I thought encouraging signs from all of the new boys, really.
How about Caden Jackson? He came on, didn't he?
He looks swift,
because on tape he looks insane.
There was one little moment where it wasn't anything particularly dramatic. He was just on the edge of the box, wasn't he, sort of facing away from goal, but he just turned the afterburners on and breezed past his man over the space of about 3 yards. He started 3 yards behind him and ended it 2 yards ahead of him. He is rapid. He had one chance, didn't he, which kind of bundled wide of the post, but he is rapid. And that pace, as Paul Hurst said before the game, said whatever anybody tries to do to combat that pace will just open holes for other players in the team, and I think that's going to be the case.
Okay, so in terms of the result itself, obviously losing at Rotherham and the first game of the season, obviously getting a very late leveler at home to another newly promoted side, on the face of it, not the best of results. So I know already there are some people getting the collywobbles on social media saying, oh, it's all going to explode and we're going to get relegated and bring Mick back and all that sort of thing. But it's going to take time, isn't it? You can't build Rome in a day, and you certainly can't rebuild a team in a day, especially with that many new players. Is that fair? I mean, you wrote today, Stu, about boiled frog syndrome, which I particularly enjoyed. Stu, it's going to take time, isn't it?
Yeah, I think we all accepted that this was a risk, the route that Ipswich are going down. But what was the alternative of just carrying on the same, treading water? Just dwindling attendances. It was death by a thousand cuts, boiling frog syndrome, whatever you want to call it.
What is boiling frog syndrome? Just explain that, because I read it. You wrote it, my friend.
Yeah. It's not a particularly pleasant analogy, but it's,
I think it's accurate, though.
It's, a syndrome, a fable, whatever you want to call it. If you chuck a frog in some boiling water, it jumps straight out. If you put it in tepid water and bring that water to the boil, it doesn't really perceive the danger. It's about comfort zones, okay, isn't it?
Apathetic.
So, yeah, if you trundle along doing the same old things, you don't have the motivation to do something different. Anyway, it's probably a little wordy way of saying that Ipswich were kind of just treading water and they needed to do something different. And that's what I think everyone was asking for. We've got different. boy, have we got a different manager, a different type of approach. And now I guess we've got to stick with it now. And what I really like about Paul Hurst is that he's explaining his thought process to people. He's not being dismissive. He's not saying, trust me, I'm a manager, I know what I'm doing. You know, I like the fact that there's a bit of vulnerability about him. He's saying that he's got his own doubts in his mind. He doesn't know whether it's going to work. But, you know, it's a bit like Gareth Southgate. And I used that comparison in the piece that I did, that I thought the way that Gareth got everybody on board with England was the way he was relatable and the way he explained his thought process. And I think Paul's doing the same thing here. And that's going to go a long way to building bridges with the fans and giving him the patience and time that he needs.
It's not too long ago that we were getting scenarios where shots on target were being ironically cheered, and
exactly.
So things have certainly changed in that respect.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, Hutch. Next run of games, obviously Exeter tomorrow night, we'll talk about that in a minute, but then there's Villa at home, Derby Wednesday, who's after that, I can't remember,
Norwich City,
there you go, a big some little game. So those four games, on the face of it, certainly Villa and Derby, and then the Derby games are always obviously a big game, look like tough games. So if Town go through that stretch of games and they're still struggling, when should the panic button get pressed? Or should it not be pressed at all?
I think you have to press it at some point, but I don't think that run of games is... Look, this is a tough one, but, you know, they could lose, if they lost them all like 8-0, then maybe you press the button then, but I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think any of us think that's going to happen.
Well, we know they're going to beat Norwich because we've already all guaranteed that.
Exactly. So I don't think you're pressing the panic button yet. I've seen enough to think that there's going to be no need to press the panic button in that time. And we'll come on to this game a bit more in a minute. We're talking about it the day before the Exeter game, but this is why I think it's really important that Paul puts his as much of a first team out as he can to win a game at Exeter. Going to that run, having got your first win as a group, could be massive. Know that winning feeling as a team, that could be huge for you.
Well, he's not shied away from that it's a results business, that ultimately that's what he's in. It's not ideal. You can take all the positives you want from these first two games, but it would have just relaxed things a little bit more had they got one of those wins on the board going into these tougher games. So it's going to be an interesting few weeks ahead, and how it's all very easy for us to sit here and preach patience and all of that, but you know, if we are still having this conversation in another month's time, I can see why people might just start getting a little bit nervy, but we'll see. What I will say is Blackburn and Rotherham, both very settled sides, both sides that have come up with a winning mentality. They're the bulk of, they haven't had a huge turnover of players, so in some ways it was quite difficult facing those early on, and maybe, just maybe, playing teams like Villa and Derby might just raise the, you know, might just get a little extra percentage out of some of these players that have stepped up and think, right, this is it, this is the big occasion now. So that might help.
Certainly Derby have not looked decent so far.
They got absolutely
tonked by Leeds.
Did you watch that as part of your day of sport?
I didn't, no, I was watching all the other stuff that I have. I can't. I've got to clear some of it, my friend, because I'm getting to the point where I can't take any more sport. Critical mass. But yeah, so Leeds obviously will find a way to shoot themselves in the foot, you'd think. But Derby certainly don't look like they're at the races so far under Lampard. Anyway, let's move on to Exeter.
Can we talk about going in the away dressing room at Rotherham?
Yes, of course, absolutely.
That was fun, wasn't it?
The floor is yours. So you broke into the away dressing room.
We're quite often the last people to leave a football ground with the amount of work that is that we have to now churn out for websites and all the rest of it. So we've basically been told you're the last people in the building, you can exit. We've locked all these doors, but if you work your way down this corridor, you'll find a way out. So we went off to have a little wander to do our video at 7 o'clock
or
something.
Trying to find a location for them is quite fun sometimes.
And we stumbled across the dressing room, so we thought we'd have a little look inside.
Anything left? Like Luke Chambers pants or something?
Some very full bins.
Yeah?
To the point of overflowing.
Full with what?
Tape.
Yes.
Bottles. Insoles.
General football paraphernalia, yeah.
Was there the smell of deep heat in the air that I remember so much?
There wasn't actually.
No?
It smelled alright, but it just felt like a mid-market health club changing room. It wasn't particularly grand.
Yeah, you imagine these places to be a bit grander, don't you? You can see that obviously now on the Kings of Anglia Facebook page, go and watch the video that
some leftover food as well
Hutch and the doctor did from the training at the changing room at Rotherham. But let's talk about Exeter, shall we, boys? That's the next game as we sit here at lunchtime on Monday, tomorrow night. We've had the press conference this morning. You've spoken to Mr. Hurst. The artist.
Hollywood.
The artist formerly known as Hollywood.
Yeah, there
Hollywood.
We go, yeah.
Hollywood Hurst.
It's just like a P. Diddy sort of name change.
Hollywood Hurst was there this morning. Now, obviously, Town's record in the Cups under Mick was dreadful. I don't know, you'll be able to tell me when the last time they won a League Cup game was.
Well, they had one run where they got Man United, didn't they, in about the third round.
Yeah.
And we had the incident at Doncaster where Larson Torre threw his shirt in the crowd and didn't realise there was still extra time to come. That's about the only year that they've made it through. I looked at the League Cup record. They've exited to lower league opposition in five of the last seven seasons. FA Cup we all know about. Haven't won in that full stop since 2010. So, yeah, I think everyone's gagging for a bit of cup success.
So if I'm me, if I was Hollywood Hurst, I'm putting out as close to possible as my strongest side tomorrow just to, A, get that first win of the season, and B, at least start the ball rolling in a cup competition, which I think is important. Is that me being incredibly naive?
No.
Is that what he will do?
I think there'll be a few subtle chats. We know Gwion Edwards won't be playing. He's got a quad injury that he was dealing with ahead of Saturday, which he aggravated slightly. Should be fine for Saturday against Villa, but he won't be playing. But you know, I agree with you. I would do the same. I'd be looking. You're trying to gel these players together, and this is another opportunity to do that. An opportunity to get your first win, and the opportunity to progress in a cup, which are all things that are important to Paul. So I'm sure there'll be a couple of subtle changes in there, but I don't think it'll be root and branch.
Did he give any hints this morning, serious, to the strength of the team that he might put out?
He just said it would be strong. I mean, it's a million miles away from Mick McCarthy telling us what the team was going into some of these League Cup games. I mean, they played the youngest team in the history of the football club at Palace at this stage of the competition last year. Yes, they put in a pretty gallant performance there, but ultimately they lost. Yeah, it'll be a strong team, a team that I think would be capable of winning a championship game. One or two may not be risked. Edwards we know about, but it will be a team of first-team players. It's not going to be a team of kids, for sure.
Well, time will tell. Travel plans tomorrow, boys? Exeter's a fair old jaunt. What time are you leaving?
Leaving at 11:30. Scarlet Lady's picking me up at 11:30.
Is that actually the name for his car? That's what he calls it, Scarlet Lady.
Yeah, well,
we dubbed it.
Oh, yeah.
It's very much stuck.
I like it, yeah.
Yeah.
11:30,
which
wow.
Means picking up the doctor at midday.
Where's the food stop?
Good question.
Well, yeah, this could be a Lee Delamere job, which is great because they do sushi there.
Wow.
Yeah, I'll be on a bit of that.
You can also putt for cash at Lee Delamere.
Yeah. That's true.
Which sometimes we do.
Can you please do that and film it?
Well, there's I'm a bit concerned they might have removed the putt for cash machine from there now.
We should also point out at this point, we talk about putting for cash. In our midst is a man who was once world ranked as a crazy golf player.
And it's not me.
It's not Stuart Watson.
It's not you either.
It's not
it?
Me either, no. It's Andy Hutch Warren.
Yep.
57 in the world,
well, maybe? Yeah, former world number 57. 2016, that was sadly a period of inactivity has meant I'm no longer ranked, and I've gone full Tiger Woods. I'm out of the rankings.
We'll see what Tiger's doing now.
Exactly.
He can come back.
It's inspiring. So
just to clarify for the listeners, you basically anyone can just apply to be.
Don't water on it, Stu. You're good too. It's all right.
I'm not saying I'm just. He
Where
went down to
ranked?
Hastings.
Yeah.
I'm not. I'm nowhere.
Right.
I'm no one.
Of all the people in this room, who's the world-ranked or formerly world-ranked athlete? Andy Warren, raise your hand.
Exactly.
There you go.
So, Hastings, is it down at Hastings?
Yeah, World Championships every year, down on the old course at Hastings.
The old course, the home of golf.
It ticks all your boxes. You've got your windmill, you've got your ski jump in there, you've got your paddle thing, helter-skelters, you've got all of them. Tough course.
But some people were taking it quite seriously.
Absolutely, yeah. People have like little books with all the angles and where all the berms were on the greens and stuff. Me and my brother just pitched up and we used a club hired from the hut, which is an added source of pride for me. Others had their own club and different balls for different holes.
Wow. Yeah. Do you get like people coming with like caddies and shirts with their names on? That sort of stuff?
Shirts with names on, no caddies, but you did have, there were people that had a golf bag for one club, which was a tad ridiculous. But
different nationalities taking part.
Yeah. Well, interestingly, my first round,
yeah,
I played with a bloke from Finland called Pasi, lovely bloke, for a living designs crazy golf courses. And he was like the chairman of the World Crazy Golf Association. I beat him in the first round.
Yes.
He was seething.
Absolutely.
So this bloke with a little plastic putter like me, just he wasn't happy. And it did slowly go downhill from there. That was my best round of the weekend.
Who are the superpowers of crazy golf?
Michael Smith's your man from
Who's
Blackburn.
That?
Big Blackburn Rovers.
English
fan.
Guy, that's good.
Yeah, yeah. Very, I think he took a year off last year, but dominant. Dominant.
Big Mike.
Yeah.
Anyway, we digress. That was interesting. Hot take, Stuart Watson.
What? Hot take?
It's
well,
not on the list.
I want
them to be hot.
Give
me a hot take.
What did I say the other day, Andy?
You
I
said,
had one out of nowhere that was you said would be good for the podcast.
It's
I always
hot
forget
enough.
Them.
Not hot if you've forgotten it.
I'm rubbish at this.
Cool take. Andy Warren, hot take.
Hot take is Caden Jackson will score his first goal for Ipswich Town at Exeter tomorrow night.
Like it.
Round of applause for that. Like it. We'll come back to you later, Stu.
Okay.
Marinate on that. Now then.
Where's yours? Come on. You can't.
Well, I'm going to chuck it in when I fancy it, my friend. I decide
okay.
when the hot takes are coming out.
All right.
And also, I haven't got one at the moment.
Maybe
so.
The hot take section could be sponsored by a curry house.
That's a good idea.
If you're listening, that's Passage to India. Great. Curry.
Outstanding idea. Now then, since we last spoke on this podcast, there was a little thing called Transfer Deadline Day last Thursday, which.
Yeah.
Was a long day for us all.
Sure was.
Resulted in us all going slightly mad in a live Facebook
watch
video.
Watch that video if you want to see Stuart Watson floss and disappear under his chair.
Absolutely, that is not to be missed. It must have been just gone 9 p.m. last Thursday. Stuart Watson was flossing live to the world to mark the end of transfer deadline day and then disappeared into a puddle under the table. So watch that back. But boys, so obviously the transfer window is done in terms of permanent deals and our loans are very much still in play, and one of the people who we think or is going to go out on loan, interestingly over the weekend, lots of fans quite upset about this, is Andre Dizel. So
yeah.
What do we think about this? Obviously one of the gems in the Ipswich crown in terms of talent. Obviously I've cursed him because I said he was going to be the key player and like drying and he immediately gets loaned out. But what, Andre Dizel going out on loan, does that make sense to me? You want your best players at the club, don't you? And he...
I can see both arguments for this one. Obviously, can see the argument where you want him at the club, but that's an obvious argument.
Mm.
He's a very talented player, and you get the sense he'd fit in well in what Ipswich are doing. But I can also see why a young man who still hasn't really played a full season of men's senior football, missed the whole of last season with a knee injury, has. You know, is by no means number one first choice for a starting position at Ipswich. Why a loan until January might be the best thing for him. I can see at a good club. You know, you got to handpick this one. This isn't whoever comes in. We want to get him out on loan. Whoever comes in.
That was my hot take. I've just remembered. Hot take: Andre Dizel will go on loan to Rotherham. That was my hot take from Saturday, wasn't it?
Wow.
When we were discussing this.
Why Rotherham?
Well, Paul Warne is a very good friend of Paul Hurst.
Yes.
And Rotherham are desperate for central midfielders at the moment. Ipswich have loaned Josh Emmanuel to Rotherham last year. That would give him that would get him a championship club as well to get some game times. That was my hot take.
That is a good hot take, to be fair. Very strong. It's worth waiting for. So if Dizel does go to Rotherham, outstanding. Stuart, your thoughts on Dizel going out on loan?
Much the same as Andy, really. I think we forget. Maybe the fact that he produced that assist against West Ham in the final warm-up game got everyone, probably ourselves included, a little bit overexcited about his return.
Got me excited.
Paul Hurst has been quick to say he can do bits and pieces in games like that, but has he really got the physical endurance and fitness levels required for the hurly-burly of the Championship? The West Ham game, yes, Dizel, Downs, Naidam did really well as a trio in that game. Skuse was injured, of course. Nolan hadn't arrived by that point. But West Ham weren't at it, hammer and tongs. They were a week behind in their build-up. I'm not sure that that was them anywhere near their full capabilities. Take nothing away from the three young lads, but Hurst has got to think what's best for their development, and he's keen to stress this isn't about getting a loan fee for them to bring in other people or anything like that. Mm. What is best for their development at this moment in time? And if that's 6 months or 12 months away to get proper game time, to be involved in games that where points are at stake in front of crowds rather than getting a few minutes here and there for Ipswich Town, then maybe that's the best thing to do. But equally, I can see some frustrations from Ipswich Town fans' point of view. Particularly take someone like Naidam, for example. If he goes out and they've got Teo Eden in, who are essentially the same player, left-footed, can play a variety of positions, are you developing someone else's player instead of developing your own? Yeah. Is there a huge difference in quality between those two? We haven't seen enough of Eden to comment on that, but time will tell.
Interesting. Is there any element, I know we talked before about Teddy Bishop potentially going out on loan and you both saying it was a bad idea because of his injury history. Is there any concern along that line with Andre? He's obviously just come back from a year out with a serious knee injury. Knees are very important to footballers. Is there any risk in terms of sending him out on loan where he's not under your care every day?
His situation's different to Teddy's, I think. Teddy's is multiple injuries, multiple parts of his body over multiple years, whereas Andre's is very much a knee ligament injury, which has been very carefully rehabbed. They've been very, very careful with this. Andre said to me at Braintree that they had talked about him potentially playing minutes at the end of last season, but he wanted to, but the medical people were like, no chance. And he's been looked after very, very carefully. I think his is different. I think he has recovered from the knee injury, but it's the fitness and a year's worth of fitness at a key age that he's lost out on. So, I wouldn't have those same concerns with Teddy, although obviously, you know, you're going to pick and choose where he goes. You're going to make sure he goes to a club that you're happy with their medical setup, you're happy with their home pitch that they play on every week and that kind of thing, and someone that you trust. But no, I think it's a bit of a different situation to Teddy.
Okay. Well, let us know your thoughts on that, particularly Andre Zeller, say he seems to be capturing the imagination in terms of going out on loan. Boys, your thoughts generally on the window, Hurst's first window as Town boss, brought in 9 players, all kind of along the same lines, young, hungry, unproven at this level. Good business? Exciting?
I'm excited by the players. Good business is time will tell, I guess, but I think each of them, you know, they're excited. We're excited by them, aren't they? It's certainly interesting would be the overriding feeling on it.
And Joe Garner departed?
Yeah, I think on all of the departures, I think it's, if you throw McGoldrick in the mix as well, which was prior to Paul turning up, but all 4 of the key players that have exited, McGoldrick, Waghorn, Garner, Webster, ultimately all 4 of them expressed a desire to leave the football club. So I think when you throw that into the mix, that immediately starts to think that it's probably sensible that you don't keep players that are keen to move on, with the caveat as long as you get the right price for them. McGoldrick was out of contract, so that was by the by. But have they got good money for those 3 players? I think so. Could you have squeezed a little bit more money out of Martin Waghorn in the current market? Possibly, but £5 million for a player. And if you look at his career, he's had good seasons and bad seasons, and there's no guarantee that he was going to replicate what he did. So £5 million for him, £1.25 for Joe Garner, £500,000 profit on him, given the injuries and the age that he's at, I think is a very good piece of business. Okay, you've taken a lot of goals out of the team from last year. I think I totted it up for that piece that I did, and it was something like 80% of the goals they scored last year have now gone, when you include people like Selena and Conley, who also chipped in with goals. But let's hope the new guys can do that. Was everyone jumping up and down and screaming from the rooftops when they signed Waghorn and Garner? I don't think they were seen as stellar signings last year. I certainly don't think anyone was predicting them to have the seasons they had. Why can't that be the case with these new guys?
Hot take. Joe Garner will not be a success at Wigan. He'll spend most of his time injured, and it will be looked back on as a brilliant bit of business to get 2.5 million for
1.25, yeah.
Great.
I need to go back through these podcasts and write down these hot takes. Well, we need to hold each other to account.
Let me tell you, if any of mine come true, I'll be reminding you of them.
So, thank you very much.
Hot take. Ipswich Town are trying to sign 2 loan players. We know centre-back will be one. I actually think the other one will be more of a winger than a striker. I think that's an area that still needs a bit of work.
Which brings us nicely on, Stewie, to mailbag, because I've seen a question in there about loan targets. Just let me give the guy a shout out. Jack Wiles says loan targets, and he suggests Connor Wickham and the man Cameron Carter-Vickers. Thoughts?
First thoughts are that Connor Wickham would be too expensive. Crystal Palace, obviously he's only going out on loan. He's going out on loan for fitness reasons as well. He's coming back from injury. But they're not going to let him go for a fraction of his wage, which would put him out of Ipswich's reach. And also, I think Hurst has signed his strikers for a reason. I don't think he's necessarily going to be bringing in someone like Connor Wickham, who, if he's here, he's here to start, isn't he?
Mm. Well, yeah.
So I don't think that's the kind of loan signing that's going to be coming in necessarily. He signed Ellis Harrison to be his central striker with Caden Jackson as his second one. So, you know, those two have got the upper hand there. Carter Vickers, same boat really. If he's here, he'd have to start, wouldn't he? You'd be bringing in a nailed on.
I think
nailed
both
on starter.
Yeah, a player of that calibre would want assurances, both the player and the club, that they are going to play either in the contract that they play, or certainly some private assurances that they're going to play more often than not. And I don't think, you know, with Chambers and Nciala, that Hurst is going to be in a position to say yes, you're coming in as a starter. So I don't know, the money for Garner has certainly opened a few doors in terms of perhaps a higher calibre of loan player. Maybe the results over the next few weeks might determine what sort of level of player they go for. If the next few weeks doesn't go that well, then maybe they might just think they need to get someone in with a little bit more experience just to help settle things down. But there's a few options out there. I still think Jordan Graham might be an option. We did a story on that a couple of weeks ago about a potential loan, the winger from Wolves, who people might remember had a very brief stint on loan at Ipswich from Villa, going back a few years. He's had his injury problems. When he's been fit, he's looked class. I've heard that there were a few clubs vying for him. Brentford, Preston, Ipswich, Wigan. I still think that might be something that happens. And then just talking out loud here with no inside information, you're starting to hear a few managers talk about players that are available for loan going forwards. Derby have said that Nick Blackman might be available. Who was the Arsenal lad that I mentioned to you the other day, Andy? The Costa Rican.
Joel Campbell.
Joel Campbell, Arsenal. I'm just thinking out loud. These might be out of Ipswich's price range. But somebody of that calibre, you never know.
Okay. Next question from Harry Lockwood. For all the transfer business that's been done now, do you think the squad is stronger or weaker this year? We're certainly downgraded with Webster and Waghorn going, but perhaps upgraded in positions we were thin, i.e. out wide. So overall, would you say this version of Paul Hollywood Hursttown is better than what he was left with at the end of last season under Mick?
I think it's better balanced. I think you'd be pushed to... You'd have to really argue to say that it's stronger, because there's so little... It depends what stock you put on Chapage's experience, but there's so little of that has come in. But I look at it and it's a more balanced squad, and it's a more permanent squad in many ways, because you know there are loan players in there. There's two loan players really, with Danasian all but sorted for a permanent. It's a permanent squad to work with, rather than sort of bringing in loan players to fill starting gaps. Yeah, it's better balance. I think it's a more clear idea of what they want to do, and you know we've seen that with Paul said as much. We've seen it in the pre-season games. There's a way they want to go, and they've got the players in to fulfil the style that he wants to play, which wasn't really the case with Mick.
In terms of quality right here and now, you'd have to say no, it probably isn't better, but in terms of balance, as Andy says, it's more balanced in so many ways. It's more balanced in terms of the squad being balanced, in terms of Paul seeing that there wasn't enough wingers, and that there's more balanced in terms of the players for certain positions. It's more balanced in terms of age as well, in terms of more potential and room to grow. So yeah, I think, you know, a lot of issues have been addressed, but it, you know, right here and now, it's not better than it was last season. This goes back to the whole point about patience, and it might need a bit of time.
Which brings us on very nicely, Stewie, to Trevor A, who asked the question, how about the issue of a minority of supporters already moaning? I know we've already touched on this. Yes, Webster, Waghorn and Garner have all departed, but it's fair to say they all pretty much wanted to go.
Mm-hmm.
It's left us a bit short up front, an opportunity for someone surely. So the whole issue there, in terms of, as you say, it's got to be patience, isn't there? You can't, two games into a new reign, already be tapping your watch and saying, why aren't we winning straight away?
No, fans are entitled to think what they want. Like Paul Hurst would be the first to tell you that. He's first to admit that it could go horribly wrong.
Mm.
But
I like that, don't you? The fact that he's that open.
Yeah, absolutely. Because whatever, you know, whatever front you put on it, like, as a human being, you will have those thoughts yourself.
Mm.
So I'm sure Mick did for all of the front that was there. I'm sure in his mind at some stage he thought, maybe that's not so good. But yeah, you know, fans can think whatever they like. You know, some might not have liked his appointment in the first place, some would have still wanted Mick to be there.
Mm.
And you know, it's fair enough, it's part of the game, it's all part of the fun, it's why we enjoy it so much.
Exactly. Graham, should Dazelle, Downs and Nydam being the first team squad ahead of Shalabar and Eden, will they benefit more from going out on loan or fighting for first team place? I know obviously Stewie have already touched on this as well, but that question, should Dazelle, Downs and Nydam be playing ahead of the likes of Shalabar and Eden? Hutch?
This is another one with both sides of the debate. You can see Paul Hurst has come in as manager here, and he is trying to change a lot in a short space of time. So in his mind, he wants to put the players on the field that gives him the best chance of winning, and ultimately, make sure what he's doing is a success. And if he thinks that, using Shalabar as the example, that he is a better bet for what they're trying to do right now than Flynn Downs taking one of those young players, then, you know, I can see why the manager would do that. He's the one that's being judged on results here and now. Football's even more about the here and now than ever before. Planning for the future is really, really hard to do. It's really hard to do. So I can see why he would want to do that, certainly.
Mm. Dazelle's a different one because he's been out for so long. But are Nydam and Downs on the same level as Eden and Shalabar at this moment in time? You would probably say not, given, you know, the clubs that those two are at and the international level that they're at. So if this is just, as long as this is just a sort of a temporary development thing, ultimately we want these players, these homegrown players, to have the best possible chance to develop and be as good as they can be. And if that means it's a loan, then that means it's a loan. But this argument will take on a different meaning, and we can throw Emmanuel into the mix here as well if Danasian is playing, and if any of those players aren't doing it on the pitch, then suddenly people will go, well, hang on a minute, if we may as well have our own players out there if that's going to be the case. So
but a loan move away is a play. If you're not going to be playing first in the first team, they're so much better out on loan than playing in wet and windy training grounds in the under 23s, aren't they? Those games have got nothing on them. It's not an environment, really. Those games are for even younger players than Dazelle, Downs, Nydam, and players coming back from injury. If you're developing players, that they're better off. If they're really, really not going to be in your first team, I would say get them out on loan.
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't solve the debate of whether they should be in the first team or not.
Mm.
But if he doesn't think they should be, then they're much better off playing for Rotherham, for example, than playing today for Ipswich under 23s against Sheffield United at Stocksbridge.
I think it develops them as men as well as it does players as well. They've been, a lot of these guys have been in the Ipswich Town bubble since the age of 7, 8. Just gets them away to a different place, gets them little things, living on their own, you know, growing up as people. We forget about these are, you know, we rewind to our stage in our lives when we were 17, 18, 19. You're still maturing as a person, and are just getting them to stand on their own two feet. They come back as more rounded people as well as more rounded players as well. So there's something to be said for that.
Mm. All right then, boys, that brings us to the end of Mailbag. Thanks very much for your questions this week. suppose we better start wrapping it up, because again we've been going for near on an hour, have we not?
50 minutes,
which seems a good time to start wrapping it up, boys. So Exeter tomorrow, what are we doing the rest of the week? What have you got on your agenda?
Well, we get back from Exeter between 4 and 5 a.m.
Yeah. So in the office for 9, obviously.
Yep. I am off on work.
Yeah, you're off Wednesday.
We're both off on
Wednesday. Yeah.
Just checking. So Wednesday is a write-off. Although, rumour has it I'm being taken against my wishes. Not because I'm against this kind of thing, but I don't really want to be at a spa at 11 a.m.
That might be quite relaxing.
Well, it might be, but we've got
just have a sleep.
We've got a 3.5-month-old little girl who we're being encouraged to fob off onto somebody else for a little bit.
Okay.
But I think it's going to be a disaster. I'll report back on this next
week. How's this going to work? So you're all going to the spa?
Yeah. Well,
and there's a creche there? No.
No. My brother is going to be taking Jessica for a little bit. It's got disaster written all over it. We touch back on this next week.
Are you having any treatments? You'll be fine, mate. You'll love it.
Any treatments?
Having a little massage, but, you know, there's always this sense that we're going to be called to come and feed the little girl. You think?
You'll be fine, mate. Yeah.
You think?
Yeah.
I hope you're right.
It's not that long ago that we were concerned about.
She's a warren. She eats every 2 hours, so time is limited. Time pressures on this one.
Okay, but we'll see. Generally speaking, I would say, I'd raise my hand, bloody love a spa day. Outstanding.
Yeah, I do like a spa day. I'm not really into the treatment.
No,
I just love
a massage.
I just love the little swim, sit in the jacuzzi.
That's
and stuff.
Nice. But I like
that
holiday, isn't it?
Where are you going?
I don't know. To be honest,
they could sponsor us as
exactly.
well. We could
Clarice House. What?
That rings a bell, actually.
Yeah, Clarice
is
House.
Is that near here, Bromford?
Yeah.
Anyway. That's where we're going.
They could sponsor us. We'd
absolutely.
Be up for that.
What would we wear? Like robes.
We could robe up.
We could
do
a video from poolside or actually in the pool. I like that.
Hi. Welcome to the jacuzzi.
Mid-massage.
let's talk about Teddy Bishop's hamstrings.
Well, enjoy that, Hodge.
Thank you very much.
I'll
send you a picture.
Sue Watson, obviously you're looking forward to the Villa game at home this weekend.
What? I'm not there on Saturday, as you well know. I'm off on a stag weekend.
Leeds. Where are you going?
Sounding less ladsy by the minute. We're going to some sort of country house down near Bath somewhere.
Chaps.
So it's quite an interesting mix. I think the older we get, the less ladsy these weekends.
Can I just point out, you said Bath. It is actually Bath.
Incorrect.
Yeah. So you're going away. Obviously, I mean, to be fair, you have done a couple of games, so you're due a break.
Yeah.
I assume that'll be it, though, for the rest of the season, won't it? We'll see all the rest of the games you'll
no.
be at. Oh. No. I mean, you wouldn't... For example, miss like Boxing Day, would you? I mean, that's quite a big game on the football
Friend,
calendar.
I have done my fair share of football reporting over the years. I didn't miss a game for many years consecutively. I've been doing the beat on my own for quite a long time, so now I've got
just let Hutch
the man over from me. I'm taking a few games here and there. I've got weddings and stag do's and
you're right, Hutch,
various stuff going
on.
I'll
be fine.
Yeah.
You're missing a few as well.
Yeah, that is true, actually. I haven't told you about those yet.
No.
We need to talk about March and April of next year.
Oh, good. Excellent. With that then, that bombshell, we need to go and have a chat by the sound of it about holidays for next year. Get the diary out, boys. Thanks for joining us once again. Please, as I say this all the time, please do hit subscribe on your podcast provider and do leave us a review, 5-star review on iTunes, because as I keep saying, I need that for my ego. We've had up to 30 5-star ratings on iTunes, right? I just want to quickly shout out some of the reviews that we've had from Clint Viola, number 9, ITFC in Cardiff, James, Ipswich 86, and Gary Day, Love Rat. Interesting name.
Sounds like a top bloke.
Absolutely. But he says, it's a bit like listening to some well-informed dudes in the Brewer's Arms. So essentially, we sound like we're just having a chat in the pub, which I guess is kind of the sort of level that we're working at. Yeah. So please leave us some more reviews and subscribe. Also, as Stuart Watson and Hutch Warren have pointed out several times through this podcast, we do need a sponsor, open to all offers, and indeed all trades.
Anything.
Have your name associated with the Kings of Anglia podcast.
As long as your trade is legal.
Yeah.
That's all we ask.
We should point that out. So, boys, any other business before we head off?
No other business. I've got a really nice chicken sandwich in my drawer that I'm going to eat in a minute.
Burning a hole in your drawer. Stewie?
I've got a steak sandwich. Oh! Leftover steak from last night. I fried up a little bit extra.
Because you're home alone, aren't you?
I'm home alone, yeah. I'm winning at lunch today.
Wow.
Just reminded me of that.
I, myself, have got no lunch today because I'm going home shortly, which is nice.
Are you?
Yeah, I'm working half day today, mate.
Oh, okay.
All right for some.
All right.
Giving it all the big in about missing games just
friend,
now.
We've friend, got it from here, mate. It's fine.
Saturday was my first day off in 2 weeks. Fact. Heath wins. Or not. Anyway, so without further ado, then I suppose we'll all head off for our respective lunches. I'm very interested in eating a big porker at some point.
You have to come to an away game,
so to speak. We better
flip
finish
that one
it.
Up.
Yeah, we better finish it here, boys. Good talking to you, and we'll speak to you again soon.
Bye.